If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door. Hey everyone, it's another free preview that we're throwing your way. From Friday's Rewind to SmackDown, Neil Flanagan and I discuss some of the recent media appearances that have garnered a lot of discussion, a lot of criticism involving John Cena, Roman Reigns, and CM Punk. So here is Neil Flanagan and I discussing some of those media appearances. If you're so interested, you can hear the whole show over at PostWrestlingCafe.com, and we'll be chatting with you Saturday night following WrestleMania Night 1.
Going to start with some comments that John Cena made. This is part of, I will contextualize it. It's part of a long form profile of him that was published today in the New York Times while he was filming a movie called Matchbox, I believe it's called.
Slovenia.
Slovakia, yeah, Ciern, Slovakia, by a guy called Timothy Bella. So to contextualize it, it is a long form piece. You have the ability to listen to these articles on, if you're on the New York Times website, and it would take 13 minutes to listen to. So that gives you some idea of the length of it. But in amongst the profile, which does touch on, you know, Cena's past and his decision to retire, what went into that, his evolution into Hollywood, the emotional weight of playing a heel, or, you know, there's lots and lots in there. But in amongst it all is a comment on Vince McMahon. And I think it was notable because he really hasn't addressed this matter for over a year when he spoke on the Howard Stern show. And then, of course, in July last year, he was asked about it, John, by yourself. Appreciate the courage.
But
didn't really answer it other than to refer to previous comments.
Should I have tried to get a credential through the New York Times? Do you think I would have gotten an answer better if I was asking on behalf of the New York Times?
Perhaps if you were in Slovenia or Slovakia with him, you know, somewhere in Eastern Europe for an extended spell, you could have got some response from him. But what I will say is the response was still pretty much a carbon copy of what he said to Howard Stern. And, you know, I'll say what it was verbatim. He was asked what it was like. This is sort of not in direct speech, but he was asked what it was like to retire from his in-ring career from WWE without McMahon being part of the company. And his answer was that he was a big believer in accountability, but that McMahon still means a lot to him. And then in direct speech, Cena says, "I don't care who hears it. I love Vince. I'm not downplaying anything that needs to be decided or allegations of any kind. But when I love somebody, I love them wholeheartedly. I know people are going to be angry about that, but they can't put their value on my relationship with somebody I love," which does kind of echo the comments he made to Stern over a year ago in February, just weeks after the Grant lawsuit was filed. McMahon denies the accusations. I mean, that's really all we get in this very long form piece about it. What did you think of that, John?
I mean, it was just somewhat interesting to see just kind of this kind of public stance that John Cena has had related to Vince McMahon. I think he felt, looking at this, is that when he went on Howard Stern, that's my addressing of it, and I won't have to talk about this again. And he didn't until it was raised at the Money in the Bank press conference. And you saw his answer, which I will state, he had opened it up, and it's like, ask me anything. And like my context of it, and people are like, well, why did you ask it at this point? It was like, number one is the fact that this retirement announcement, it's like John Cena is one of the dynamic of Vince McMahon and John Cena. I think they are interchangeable. I don't think you can talk about one's career without the other. And we're about to do this 18-month farewell to John Cena. Like, how are you going to navigate around Vince McMahon? Like, this is someone that obviously he thinks exceptionally high of still throughout all of this. But he had no desire to broach this. And I'm sure he was caught off guard at the Money in the Bank press conference. But for this piece, you know, they're again, this is in the context of a written piece. He was probably interviewed weeks ago for this. It was not as though this just came up at randomly for him, but it's one where he is not showing any hesitancy to show his, as he calls it, his love for Vince McMahon. And I mean, you can't speak to what the relationship is between these two. Is it one where, I mean, you just put yourselves in like those shoes of someone like, I think that this would certainly give you thought that when you heard that Vince McMahon had reached out to Roman Reigns last year around his birthday, I think you could make the reasonable assumption that these two very much have an ongoing friendship relationship, and what aspects of that are the two having privately, that's left for your speculation. But it is something that, you know, for this whole farewell to John Cena, it's like you can see like Vince McMahon has been pretty much cut out of it, but John Cena obviously has a huge amount of praise and friendship for Vince McMahon. And I think this, rightly, it upsets a lot of his fan base of the fact that it's not so much even a message that he has, or that, you know, I think fans expect some kind of accountability for a Vince McMahon, and you can rule in whether you feel John Cena publicly needs to provide that accountability for him. I think he's being very careful with his language. He's not condoning what is alleged, but that, you know, he is completely behind Vince McMahon, his friend.
By the same token, he's also being very circumspect, and when he doesn't mention Janelle Grant or even really what the allegations are, he just talks about being a believer in accountability. And I think he said that last year as well.
You certainly got more of a kind of sympathetic note from Roman Reigns in that Vanity Fair piece.
Very much so.
You know, I know a lot of the Trump stuff is more so being focused on Reigns, but in that, you know, you could tell for him, like, this is someone that you did get like a level of empathy that he had, for Janelle Grant and, talking about her directly. That, you know, you can, it's been very interesting, I will say, Neil, and maybe this kind of dovetails everything, is that all of their major stars have been out this week doing media with a lot of high level media. Vanity Fair for Roman Reigns, John Cena in the New York Times. He also did a thing with NPR. CM Punk was on the Masked Man show, the Ringer show.
The Ringer.
And in all of this, and even like Paul Levesque, this ties to last week. He was on the Andrew Schultz podcast, and the current like political climate in the U.S. has come up, and in Cena's case, not so much politics, but this Vince McMahon thing. Like, you're talking about major stories, and I think it's been very interesting just to see all of these people kind of speaking openly about their politics, with Roman Reigns, like, not really leaving much to, read between the lines in terms of, he's a registered Democrat, but clearly was supporting Donald Trump in this last election. And I think it's just an interesting time period where I think even several months ago, I think even if you were a public figure that was supporting Donald Trump, you might have that hesitancy. And at least here with Roman Reigns, with Paul Levesque, I mean, the guy's there taking photos with Donald Trump. I think it's less so that, but, you know, and that's been like an interesting theme throughout the last couple of days, is fan reaction to a lot of this.
Absolutely. You spend any time on X, and I try not to spend very much on there, but yeah, it's been talked about an awful lot. And all I'll add to all of that, John, is that I think, you know, the critics of your question last July should think, you know, have a think about it, because really he's been asked three times, you know, Stern, yourself, and the New York Times. he kind of blanked your, you know, he kind of dodged it when it came from you. But it was, as you say, the careers of these two men, McMahon and Cena, are inextricably linked. I mean, if you Google for John Cena's opinion of McMahon pre-Grant, he does love the guy. You know, he talks about him as a father figure, as a mentor, as somebody who built his career, as someone he owes an awful lot to.
And he's not the only one as well. Like when we've heard Bryan Danielson, Mick Foley, like there is a lot of people who, I mean, even with like these allegations and such, it's like, I'm not even someone that is just making it so easy that it's just, oh, you completely cut ties with someone. Like you have to put yourselves in the shoes of someone that you have, like, obviously, like some of these people, they have an extraordinary, like they look at Vince McMahon as like this father figure for them, and they are not going to blast this guy publicly. For whatever reasons you want to look at it. And I think there is a parsing that can be done, I think, from some of these people that I think does lead to at least some understanding of like the victim in this situation and that the focus instead of like Vince McMahon and character repair either. Like to [S2] Sure. [S1] Me, Vince McMahon is not the focus as much as Janelle Grant should be in a lot of this instead of so much of this is just kind of the, like, let's maintain this aura of Vince McMahon that has obviously engulfed a lot of these performers and some that can distance themselves from that and take a more measured approach. And some who are just like, they are loyal to this individual. And that's probably a case for many too that are not going to speak publicly, but probably, you know, share some of these views.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen.
Good points of Vince McMahon, like that worked for him for years and years, and others who may not as well, but it's... I can't speak for someone that like would have that close of a relationship to Vince McMahon, and you read that lawsuit and just, I don't know how you come away with that without just having like a real, eye-opening experience to this individual and what he is accused of. That is really hard to rectify, I would say, for anyone that has a close or even a partial relationship with him.
I think so too. I don't want to, beat a dead horse with this story, but you know, if a close friend of mine was accused in this sort of detail with text messages that I knew to be from that person, you know, that becomes a moral quandary for somebody, you know, who is a loved one of mine. And I just feel, like you said, there are ways and means of answering these questions, and you know, people can make up their own mind to think about whether it's sufficient or not.
Did you get to hear any of the CM Punk interview that he did today, or see some of the quotes from it? Or
I saw some of the quotes from it. I have not had a chance to listen to the entire Ringer interview. I know what he said about politics. I know specifically what he said about Elon Musk's gesture on stage at the CPAC conference. But I haven't heard him say it.
Yeah, it's like I've heard the relevant portions. I mean, you know, he did talk about like the pay scale in WWE and kind of linking it to like why I was so obsessed with a main event spot. Like it wasn't just like this dream I had. It was also like it's validation, and it is the highest paying position you have in WWE as a headliner. That's going to be the biggest payoff. And he said, it's nothing like that anymore. He said we're paid stupid money, but it's pretty much like what your contract says is pretty much what you're going to make. It's not like you're making your downside and then you're going to make X amount more with house shows, or you're going to get a $750,000 payoff for WrestleMania. It's like, you know what you're making going in. It's less of a financial incentive to headline WrestleMania now. It's more so an indication of where your spot is, but also working it in of the fact that, I do think we are still underpaid when you hear TKO shouting from the rooftop about all these, this revenue we're making. And I mean, that's something that, I mean, there's pretty much no other WWE talent that are probably saying that part out loud, even though every single person would be justified in arguing that they are underpaid, especially these top guys. Like, I don't care what millions they are getting into. When you look at the revenue, and it's very similar on the UFC side.
President should just kind of do his job. And like, if you're wearing hats and shirts promoting the president and all that stuff, and we have very much seen recently that all these people have voted against their best interests because they thought this president was going to just do bad, stupid shit to the people that they don't like.
Mm.
You know, I can sort of draw a line in the sand and say, when Elon Musk is throwing Sieg Heils up at the podium, and I could just see people make excuses for that and just go,
that's not how that works.
Fucking own it.
Yeah.
We saw what you did. Don't gaslight me. I'm not fucking as stupid as you are.
Right.
You know
what I
mean? Like, I know what you did. So I know what you are. Now I know where you stand. And this is where I stand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just a fucking strange, ugly world out there. And the only thing I can do is be true to myself and implement and be a voice for myself and my family, my community, then the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what people want from us as entertainers. Like, I'm just supposed to quit my job because what? Because somebody on Twitter says WWE is a quote unquote MAGA company.
Mm.
Okay. Well, you're on Lord Elon Musk's fucking Twitter saying stupid shit. Like, shut the fuck up.
Right.
You know,
right,
like what have you done? You know, because I've done a lot. I just don't broadcast it. You know, I put my money where my mouth is, and the money I make goes to helping impoverished people. And I just, you know, I don't need to write my name in on a fucking GoFundMe to make me feel better about the shitty person I am. You know what I mean?
Right.
I will always move as myself. Sometimes I can crash like water, and sometimes I can be still.
I'm glad I got the exact quote there rather than trying to paraphrase all of that. And, you know, this got a lot of division from people in response to this about Punk. I think it's more, listen, this guy is more outspoken than, like, I would say 95% of the WWE roster that would feel comfortable saying any of this in a public setting. So I think you can lay that out right. Is there, like, I can look at the, like, I don't put all of this on talent that might have a complete difference in opinion of how a company is run. I think CM Punk is somebody that the audience sees a lot more authenticity in than many others. And the fact he has been so outspoken about many topics. It's been interesting the fact that, and granted, he was injured for a portion, but he has not done any shows in Saudi Arabia. Yep. And I think the time will come that he will have to do one of those shows. Like, it would just, like, if there's going to be a rumble there next year and there's going to be, you know, the potential of more pay-per-views there. And he will ultimately, like, he will definitely hear from fans that will be very upset with him when this was a guy who was very outspoken about the Saudi Arabian shows before.
Oh, very.
He came back to WWE. And that's part, like, you put those words out there. And if you turn around, like, that is going to hurt you. I think you can work for a company that you're not in alignment with on certain factors. And that does not make the fact of, you know, a hypocrite. But I think that you also are someone that, you know, I think there's very little incentive just in society at this point to speak against, a lot of this. Like, if you are diving into politics, there is way more of a pressure on you if you are coming from I would say, the left-leaning side than the right-leaning side at this point. And I think a lot of people would rather just they're just either keeping quiet or ignoring things. And quite frankly, I also don't know how many fans really want to hear this stuff from wrestlers either. Like, I'm all for people speaking about whatever they want to, but you're definitely going to cause a divide among your fan base. And that's been the WWE's stance throughout all of this, which is why we're talking at length about this, because it's very rare we get all these top talents that are out there and you're getting topics like this that are covered, that they have largely kept really buttoned down, the opposite of the UFC. And we're seeing sort of a lot more of an openness towards this, and you're seeing maybe WWE be right in wanting this, because look at what the online feedback has been to a lot of this. It has not been positive.
Yeah, and I think you're very much right in saying that Punk is probably one of one in feeling safe saying this sort of stuff that's going to get out there, and particularly from a somewhat leftist or left of center position. And it's a bit ridiculous. You know, I'm an outsider looking in. As far as US politics goes and the political temperature over there, I don't want to wind anyone up. Who's saying, what's this Irish guy saying? By all means, have a go at Northern Ireland. We've got plenty to be ashamed of in our past. But I think when condemning a Nazi salute becomes, you're getting political. I just really wonder what the political temperature is like at the moment. It seems like a very strange time.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it was only a matter of time that this would, become discourse. Like, it's just, you're so inundated on a daily basis. And, these are human beings that have political beliefs as well. And that is going to cause a divide among your fan base, some that will be in agreement with you and some that will be, very critical of you. And these just happen to be some of your biggest talent as well that are talking about this. So, like, just what you have seen from Roman Reigns this week and then Punk today and even Paul Levesque last week. I mean, that one was less so, but just it's also noteworthy just the fact that you look at a lot of, like, who is performing for WWE this weekend? It's Tony Hinchcliffe. Like, TKO, like, understands, like, this is an audience that we are trying to cultivate. And I think that, like, the WWE, you are seeing more of kind of like a public embrace of that as well. In certain respects that, they are not as apolitical on the outside, I would say, as they were several months ago. Like, it does feel as though, like, you are making public statements when you are getting into business with a Tony Hinchcliffe, or, I mean, that DNA has always been there. Hogan, it's just, they've tried to keep it away from the on-screen portion, and now you're seeing a bit more of that kind of permeating onto, media and other, entertainers that you are signing
even
up
the
with.
Beer sponsorship with Hogan.
Sure.
And that's, everyone knew where he stood at that point.
It's like, you can't have your cake and eat it too and say, hey, we're apolitical. You don't have to think about that stuff, but we also want to make money in these regards by getting on board with these things. Like, that is a statement you are making, and your audience is going to respond accordingly.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL, and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.